Today's daf is Bechoron Nun Hey. We're going to start right at the top, but just to review for a quick minute, we saw in the Mishnah that to include different flocks in Maaser Behema, to count them in the count of 10 at a time, they have to be within 16 mil. We said a mil was approximately a little less than a kilometer, a little more than a kilometer. And then we said, but if you have them 32 mil distance, but there's some in the middle, then that works. And then there was a debate about how many need to be in the middle. Was it enough in the middle? And it's not exactly how many need to be in the middle, but what was the combination? Did it have to be that the middle one could be mitzarev with each side independently to get to 10, according to Rav? In which case, if you had 5, 5, and 1, it wouldn't work. Only if you had 5, 5, and 5, or 9, 9, and 1, or all different, we could come up with lots of combinations. According to Shmuel, as long as the one in the middle combined both sides, and even if you had 5 on one side, 4 on one side, and 1 in the middle, I mean, he gave the example of 5, 5, and 1, but as long as you have one, if you combine them all and get to 10, that would work. So now, that was Shmuel. So now we're going to have a question, starting off with a question on Rav, Meitime. Hayu lo chamesh bekvar Hananya, v'chamesh bekvar Otnai, ein mitzdarfot ad she'echad b'tzipori. So if you have the map in the Koran, you can see where these places are in the north, okay, right there to the west of the Kinneret. There's Hananya, Tzipori, and then south of the Kinneret is Otnai. So according to the map, Tzipori wasn't exactly in the middle, in between them. It was a little closer, or a lot closer to Otnai.
But it never said it had to be exactly.
Right, it doesn't have to be, as long as you don't have 16 mil distance between Tzipori and Hananya. So according to this braita, now let's get to the details. If there's 5 in Kfar Hananya, 5 in Kfar Otnai, ein mitzdarfot ad she'lo echad b'tzipori, even one in the middle would be enough. Well, that sounds clearly like Shmuel and against Rav. So they say it's yuvta derav. Now, in this case, Shmuel is kind of nice, and tirgam haShmuel aliba derav. Shmuel explains this braita even according to Rav's interpretation, and he says, don't understand the braita as it says simply 5, 5, and 1. But kigon shayu teisha mikam v'teisha mikam v'echad be'emtzei. He says, in fact, the braita is really talking about a case where there's 9 on one side, 9 on the other, and 1 in the middle. Okay, how exactly he changes the words from there or not? If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, dehad katane achad be'emtza lab aresha kai de'ayre v'chamesh. El kigon shayu yesh lo teisha mikam v'teisha mikam. He claims that the 5 was talking about something else, and that the 1, when they said the 1 in the middle, it was referring to a different case than that case. Again, without seeing the whole braita, it's a little difficult to understand. But he claims that that's how you could read it, and that supports Rav's opinion, right? Here you see a nice, often when they argue different rabbis, they're not always so accommodating to the other opinion. Here, there's some source that contradicts Rav, and Shmuel comes and explains it. Could be, by the way, that Rav died first, and Shmuel, we talked about that a lot with Rav Yehuda, how first he studied with Rav, then he studied with Shmuel. That's why he's always bringing things from Rav and things from Shmuel. And it could be that it was after Rav's death, and Shmuel, out of respect, tried to come up with an explanation for Rav's opinion. And then he explains, "Dahi chazil hacha b'chazil hacha," because that one in the middle can then connect with the 9 on that side, or connect with the 9 on that side, and therefore they're all viewed as one. Amar Papa ulu Shmuel. Now Rav Papa is going to come. So we started off with Rav and Shmuel's machloket. Then we had a koshi on Rav. Shmuel explains it. Now Rav Papa is going to go to Shmuel's opinion. And he says that, by the way, again, Rav Papa is living after Shmuel. He says, even according to Shmuel, or the Shmuel afilu ro'eh mitzarfan. Even if there's no animals in the middle, but even if the shepherd is standing in the center of both those places, and there's less than 16 mil on either side, that's sufficient just for him to be there. Now he's going to go even farther. Afilu kelav shel ro'eh mitzarfan. What he's saying is, since Shmuel has a more lenient opinion in general and says one animal can join all of these, he says theoretically anything can join these animals as long as there's something bringing them together. So the first thing is the shepherd himself. Then he says not only the shepherd himself, but if he leaves his stuff in the middle, okay, he has his kelim, like his shepherd's, you know, stuff or his clothes or whatever he has stuff of his in the center. That combines all the animals on one side and the other. Now, according to this, okay, we're going historically. So we started with Rav and Shmuel, first generation. We moved to Rav Papa, who's fourth generation, I believe. And then we're getting to Rav Ashi, who's already sixth generation. By Rav Ashi, Kalba Diro Emai. What if he has a dog? Okay, it's interesting they pick a dog because dogs were usually hated by the rabbis, but this doesn't sound like a negative thing. What if he has a dog
they
in the middle?
The dog because it's the that's what the shepherd is.
Right.
I mean, it's the obvious answer.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So now he says, if you have a dog, my, do we say? So let's say the dog is right in the center. Kevan dekare leva'ate lo mitzarfe. Do we say? And as the whole issue is, if the roa has his kelim in the middle, so he'll eventually end up in that middle spot, which then could join both these flocks. But now the question is, if he has a dog there, since he calls the dog and the dog comes to him, then he doesn't ever really need to go to that center spot. So do we view it that way? Or, Odilma, zimnin delo ate, not dogs don't always listen, and maybe the dog's not going to come. Umitztarech ihu lemesal va'ate, he's going to actually have to go there, potentially, he might have to go there to bring the dog, so is that just the same as his kelim? Okay, and obviously this ends with a teku. We don't really know the answer, but maybe you could say it was a good question. In other words, does it have to be something that can't move? For sure he's going to have to go there, or even something that moves around could have potentially joined those sides. Okay, now we're going to move on to what Rabbi Meir said in our Mishnah. Rabbi Meir Omer, Hayardein Mafsik Lamaser Behema. Okay, this is the last line of our Mishnah. This will take us to the end of the daf. The Yardein splits from Maser Behema. Okay? So now we're going to have a discussion about why. So Amar Rabbi Ami, Lo Shanu Ela She'ein Sham Gesher. This is only when there's no bridge bridging both sides. And that's because if there's no bridge, well, the animals on one side can't get to the animals on the other. So it doesn't matter how close they are. They could be 1 mile apart. They could be, you know, not, almost no distance apart, just the distance of the Yarden. That's going to separate
enemies
them.
Enemies on the other side of the...
They didn't have what?
Enemies on the other side of the river.
Somebody else could be shepherding the sheep. I mean, it's not... Doesn't mean they're unprotected.
Right. I mean, there weren't always enemies on the other side.
Some of the tribes were on the other side.
Right.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that.
Right.
Not the time of the rabbis, probably. So the Yarden is Mafsik Lamaser Behem, which maybe is the reason, by the way. You could be saying the Yarden is Mafsik because it's enemy territory on the other side. And the Gemara doesn't suggest that, but what you're suggesting is a possibility because we're going to see later there's going to be a question as to why specifically the Yarden and not any kind of body of water. And maybe that is what you're saying because that's already enemy territory and that divides us. And maybe that's a really good answer. So Rabbi Ami says it's only when there's no Gesher. Aval Yesham Gesher, Gesher Mitzarfan. Okay, but as soon as you have a bridge, that can join them together. Alma, therefore, what do we assume this means? Mishum delomer karvanhu. Right, the reason is because they're not able to get to each other, right? They're not considered close because there's a bridge, there's the water that separates them. Now we're going to have a question on Rabbi Ami. Meitibe. Here's a source, a Tanaitic source. Hayu lo b'shnei evrei ha-yardein, eilach ve'eilach. If you had animals on both sides of the Yarden, that's our case. Oh, b'shnei avtilaot, or two different counties, kigon shel namer v'namuri. Okay, interesting, they sound kind of the same, right? It's like Kansas and Kansas City, or, you know, like things like that. And maybe they were, you know, one was a suburb of the other, or something like that. Or maybe randomly they had the same name, but I'm assuming they had the same name because it was connected, like Pitar and Pitar Elite, or, you know, things like that.
Because they're only separated by 1 meal, so...
Okay, so they were close to each other, and they were separate counties, but close to each other. Ein mitzdarfim, okay? So now we see, right, even if they're close, as soon as they're considered two different areas, they're not mitzdarif. Ve'ein sarich lamar, and of course we don't need to say, chutz ala aretz va'aretz, right? If you're on the border, right outside the country, so the border, right over the border. It could be right next to you. But since you're already in chutz la'aretz, of course that's going to be considered different. So now they say, v'ha chutz la'aretz v'aretz, and similarly, namer and namuri, kimakom sheyesh gesher dami, right? It's as if there's a bridge, meaning the animals can pass through. There's no border control protecting, right? You don't need to show a passport if you're an animal crossing from one side to the other, right? Presumably there weren't such border controls in those days anyway. And since you could just kind of go from one to the other, it sounds like that's not the issue with the Yarden. So, v'katane lo mitzdarfim, right? And it says they can't join together. So even though they actually can physically get there, right, that's not the issue. Ela, amar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan. So now we're getting a different answer, name of Rabbi Chiya and the name of Rabbi Yochanan. Hainu tama de Rabbi Meir, the real reason is, da amar kra, v'hayardin yigvolo tolifat kedma. Okay, when it talks in Yeshayahu, Yeshua, about the boundaries, what does it say? The Yardain is going to be the eastern border. Okay, it borders, they're talking about the Nachala Binyamin, Zot Nachala Binyamin Legvulotah. The Yardain was the border of his territory. So there you see, the Yardain was a border. This matches Aretz and Chutz La'aretz, right? This was the border. So because the Yardain creates a border, that's going to be a Gvul also when it comes to Maser Behemah. Well, then we're going to have a bit of an issue, according to this, because then, in Yeshua, they're constantly talking about borders and which Shevet is in which, right, what the borders between all the Shvatim. You're going to start saying borders between Shvatim create problems for Maser Behemah, right? No one's going to say that. And therefore, the Gemara asks, Elamayata v'ta'ara gvul, and they drew the born boundary. V'alaha gvul, okay, these are all a few psukim previously. This is all in Yeshua Yudchet. V'ta'ara gvul v'nasa l'fat yam negma minahar, shal p'nei beit choron, negma, okay, and they're basically describing the Yehuda, and then, they're basically talking about all the boundaries. What you're going to take, every time it says gvul, and you're going to say, well, we're making a boundary, it seemed very specific, it was the Yarden, and not all sorts of other boundaries in between tribes.
Boundaries between Shvatim and boundaries that get you to the edge of the Eretz, and the outside is different.
Okay, so first of all, so maybe it's the boundary of the Eretz, of the land, maybe, but what they're going to distinguish between is a different boundary, which is water and land. Okay, so then they're going to say, so also, Hachanami Hakatuva Sa'ogvul Bifne Atzmo, so there also it seems to designate it as a border. Shanei Hatam Damakra, the Pasuk says, okay, also in Yehosh, right, this is in Bamidbar, Lamed Dalet, Zot Tiyeh Lechem Ha'aretz L'Gvulotah Saviv. So what does that teach us, right? These will be the borders of Eretz Yisrael. So what do we learn? Kula Eretz Yisrael Gvul Echadi, the whole, everything in Eretz Yisrael is one Gvul. Well, Yihachi Yardein Nami. Well, then the Yardein technically is also within the Gvulot of Eretz Yisrael. So why would you say that that's the cutoff? So they say, Aretz below Yarden. Oh, notice it says, the Aretz the Gvulotah. It's talking about land and not water. So that's where the distinction becomes water boundaries and land boundaries. So now they say, Bishlam other Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. So again, we have these two opinions. Rabbi Ami says it's just because the animals can't get from one side to the other, but theoretically, if they could, there was a bridge, it would be fine. You could join them. And Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba says, no, it's specifically the yard. So now we're going to say, Bishlam other Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, Hainu de Katani Yarden. That's why specifically it's the Yarden, because the Yarden was considered there the boundary. Specifically the Yarden, not any other body of water. Ella Rabbi Ami, who says it's all about can they get over the water or not, Litninu Likulunaro. They should have mentioned all bodies of water. They shouldn't have specifically used the example of the Yarden. It should have been any body of water. Kasha. So in fact, Rabbi Ami's opinion is difficult. So we now had two questions on Rabbi Ami's opinion. One was from the Braita that said that Chutz La'aretz and Aretz, even though you can get from one to the other, and Namer and Namuri, right, are not mitzdareif. And the second question is that it doesn't really make sense that he didn't just say Naharot in general. Now we're going to go back to Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, who said it's all about this Yarden, and that the Yarden is a Gvul, but land is not, right? Land, we're going to view all of Eretz Yisrael as one, but the Yarden, as a body of water, isn't included in that boundary, and therefore we're going to say that's the border. Kitinai. Let's assume that this whole thing is, but we're actually saying what he says here in our explanation of him is a machloka tanaim. Ki atem ovrim et hayarden artsa kanan. Okay, pasuk from Bamidbar also. So you are now going into the land of Canaan. Artsa eretz Canaan, velo hayarden eretz Canaan, devre Rabbi Yehuda ben Batera. Yehuda ben Batera says, you're going into the land of Canaan. The land is considered the land of Canaan, but the Yarden is not considered part of the land of Canaan. That matches what we said, that the Yarden is on, right, is out. Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Omer, Harehu Omer, Me'era LaYarden Yericho Kedma Mizracha. Right, it says, now we get to the Shvatim who lived on the other side, as you mentioned before. Reuven, Gad, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe wanted a lot of land, right, where their livestock could graze.
Specifically,
which is exactly our issue, exactly. And where did they say to go? They went me'aver la'yarden, on the other side of the Yarden, Yericho, from Yericho. We're going to see exactly what this is. or maybe not, we're going to see these different opinions, Ked Mamizracha, okay, go from there to the east. So what do they learn from here? Ma Yericho Eretz Canaan, just like Yericho is considered Eretz Canaan, Af Yarden Eretz Canaan. According to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, what does he say? Since it says to them, go on the other side of the Yarden, opposite Yericho, he says the Yarden is here in the Pasuk juxtaposed to Yericho, just like Yericho is part of the land, also the Yarden is part of the land, right? Yericho, just north of the Dead Sea, saying, and it's obviously in Eretz Canaan, so take the land opposite that. That's for you. So there you see the Yericho, that the Yarden is considered within the borders of Eretz Canaan, and that goes against what we said. So actually, that's Yericho. In a minute, we're going to see something, though, that Beit Yericho, which maybe is Yericho, maybe is something else. Amar Rabba Rabba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Ein Yarden Ela Mibeit Yericho Ulamata. Okay, so if you look at a map, okay, you can open this good map here in the Koran, or you can open any map. And, or you maybe know this all in your head anyway. Okay, so we have, right, through the middle of Israel, right, we have this, or the side of Israel, we have this, we have all this stuff going, right, all this water coming up from the north, goes all the way down through Tveri, right, through the Kinneret, and then the Jordan River comes out of the Kinneret all the way down to Yam HaMelech. Now, Yericho is all the way down there in the south. So it sounds like the pshat of Rav Rav Chanan and the name of Rabbi Yochanan is, the Yarden, when we say the Yarden, we mean the part of the Yarden, not the whole Jordan River from the Kinneret all the way down to the Dead Sea. It's from Yericho Ulamata. Okay, now it does say Beit Yericho. And if you look at that map, there's a place called Beit Yerach, just south of the Kinneret. Okay? Some people say that Beit Yericho is Beit Yerach. And it actually means, which is a huge difference, because then we're talking about what we call the Yarden, from the top going all the way down. So it's a bit of a debate about how to understand this Beit Yericho. But in any case, it's limiting in some way. Okay, what it's saying is, you know, the stream, let's say, above there is not called the Yarden, and the Kinneret is not considered the Yarden, even though the Yarden flows from it, right? It wouldn't be considered the Yarden. Or it just means the Yarden, when you say the Yarden, you only mean that low, you know, that bottom part. And one could, even though it sounds kind of strange not to call the rest of it the Yarden, we could say, again, it's based on the Pasuk. Me'ever le'Yarden Yericho. So they designate, right, they say on the other side of the Yarden from where Yericho is. So they basically say, therefore, when we say the Yarden, we mean that lower part. Now we're going to have to say in a minute, for what intents and purposes are we saying the Yarden is only that little part? Or maybe a bigger part, but limiting in some way. So, Lamai Hilchata, what's the relevance? E lema linoder, if you want to say someone says, I'm not going to benefit from the waters of the Yarden. So then the question is, which part of the Yarden are we referring to? Well, here it would be obvious. When it comes to Nidarim, I don't know if you recall, but it doesn't matter what's halachically called the Yarden. What matters? When someone says a neder and we want to know what they're referring to, what do we figure it, what do we assess it based on? Halacha chayal sham b'nei adam. We go by what people generally use, and the whole question with a neder, it's not halachic, and it's the chalut of a neder is halachic. But what you say, and when we don't know what you meant, right? We spent a long time on this in Nidarim and another Masechta also. When you say something, we don't know what you mean, so we try to assess, well, what do we think you meant? So what do we think you meant when you said the Yarden? Whatever generally people use on the street, they call the Yarden. Well, the Yarden is obviously, everyone calls the whole Yarden the Yarden, and therefore it wouldn't make any sense to say that. Whatever people call Yarden, it should be forbidden. And therefore, we wouldn't limit it to just this area. Ela l'maser behema. What it means is, when it comes to maser behema, and this din of Rabbi Meir, that the two sides of the Yarden don't connect, if you have animals on both sides, we're going to be talking about only this part of the Yarden, okay, and not any other part of the Yarden. Tandinami hachi. Here's a braita to support this. Yarden yotze mimarat pamyas. If you know pamyas is from panyas. Panyas, if you've ever been to the banyas, is the banyas is named for panyas. Okay? So what he means is there's a cave of the banyas that goes front, and that's the root of the Yarden. According to the note in the Koran, it actually says that we're now basically saying this is the source of the Yarden. It's no longer the source of the Yarden. Obviously, the water must have gotten rerouted at some point, and it doesn't actually come out from the cave of the Banyas. But anyway, this Braita says that the Yarden comes out from the cave of the Banyas. Umehalech bayama shel Sivri, which is the lake in the Chula Valley. Okay, there's a body of water that's no longer there, and I think also there it said in the 1950s it was, they dried it out. Then they tried to recreate it said, but it didn't work or something like that. It goes through the Chula water, Ubiyama shel Tveria, from there to the Sea of Galilee, to the Kinneret, Ubiyama shel Stom, and from there all the way down to Yama Melach. Okay, here it gets interesting. Veholech v'nofel liyama gadol. And it goes from there to the Mediterranean. Well, that seems a little odd if you see the map, right? It's going straight down, and all of a sudden it goes all the way out.
I mean the Red Sea.
West. So, right. So it's very likely. I didn't see anyone who says this. But the most likely is that even though the Yama Gadol usually means the Mediterranean, maybe they really mean the Red Sea. That seems the most obvious. The explanations I found all seem to say, I was sure the Koran was going to say that, but they didn't. They all seem to go in the lines of, I forget who said it. I think Rashi maybe said it, but maybe it's not Rashi. I forget who said it. But that it goes underground and through there somehow gets to the Yam HaTichon. That's one way. Or it means in some metaphysical way. It doesn't mean physically. Anyway. Okay. So what do you see here? That the source of the Yaradim was Marat Pamyas, right? And it goes all the way down. Okay. And then here's the point, though. This is why we brought it. The end of the Brayta says, Ve'ein Yardein Elami Beit Yericho Lamata. But despite that, right, we're all in the part that we're going to call the Yaradain is only that, again, little stretch or maybe long stretch, we're not sure. Am Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, Am Rabbi Yochanan. Lama nikra shmo Yaradain? Okay, here's an interesting etymology. Why do we call it the Yaradain? She yored mi Dan. Nechmad, right? It comes from Dan, because it starts from the Banyas, which was the Shetach of Dan. And that's why it's called the Yaradain, because Yarad mi Dan. Am Rabbi Rabbi Abba le Ravashi. Atun mehata matnitula. You learned it from there, that it comes from Dan, right? And then we get, how do we know it comes from Dan, basically? Because it's called the Yardin. He says, but Anan, we mehacha matinala. We learned that it comes from Dan from a different place. How so? It says in Yehoshua, it starts off by Yitzei Gvul B'nei Dan, Mehem V'yalu B'nei Dan V'yilachamu Im Leshem. Okay, they fought with Leshem, the B'nei Dan. V'yilkidu Ota V'yakot Al Picharev, V'yirshu Ota, and then they conquered Leshem. V'yishvuba. And then it says, V'yikru'u L'Leshem Dan K'shem Dan Abihem. And then they called Leshem Dan in the name of Dan, their father. Okay, so here you see they conquered Leshem. That was part of the Shetach of Dan. Okay, so far, what does that have to do with anything? V'amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Leshem zo Pamyas. And Rabbi Yitzchak said that Leshem is Pamyas that we were talking about. V'tanya, and Abraita says, Yotzei Yarden mimara Pamyas. So here you have it. Put all the pieces together. The Yarden comes from Dan. Okay, so we learned it not from the etymology of the word, but from the sources. Amarav Kahana. Zichrute di Yardena mimarat pamyas. Okay, zichruta means the source, okay, like the zachar of something. It's really referring to the aver,
the loins.
The man, right, the loins, like the main part. Okay, the source of the Yardena is marat pamyas. Hecha da amar lo shatina mayim mimarat pamyas, itzale bakule Yardena. So therefore, if somebody says, I'm not going to drink water from marat pamyas, basically, the entire Yaradim is forbidden for you for drinking. Now, since we're talking about the Zachuta, the source of the Yaradim, now we're going to talk about Zachuta de Dama Kavda. We talked about how the Kaved in Chulim, we talked about the liver, how it's all full of blood. The root of blood in the body comes from the liver. Kidu Rabbi Yitzchak, like Rabbi Yitzchak says, Dama Rabbi Yitzchak, Kaved Shenimoch Metame Birevit. Okay, if you have a dead body or parts of a dead body in an Ohel, so if you have the flesh of a dead body, the meat, then it's metame b'kizayit, which is a bigger shear than a revit. A revit is usually a liquid measurement, and if you're talking about blood, if you have blood of a dead body, it's going to be metame a shear of a revit. So if you have a liver that starts disintegrating, the amount that you need in order to be metame mate in an ol is a revit, because the kaved is considered blood, basically. So therefore, a smaller shear is actually giving matami. Zachruta demaya prat. Okay, now we're going to get all into Nahar Prat, the Euphrates. Okay, the root of all water in the world is Nahar Prat. To Amar Rav Yehuda Amarav, as Rav Yehuda says in the name of Rav, Hanoder mimei prat. If you say, I'm not going to benefit from the waters of the Euphrates, Asur b'chol mei mocha b'olam. You can't benefit from any water in the world. Now the Gemara says, what are you talking about? Hechidami. Ilem ada amar, if you said, lo shatina mei mei de prat, if you say, I'm not drinking from the Euphrates, mei pratu de lo shatina. Hamina rachrina shatina. Again, what do we follow when it comes to nidarim? What people mean, when people talk about the Euphrates, they don't mean all the waters in the world, they mean specifically the Euphrates. So even if you say the Euphrates is the root of all water in the world, when somebody says, I'm not going to drink the water from the Euphrates, they obviously only meant the Euphrates, they didn't mean all water in the world. So you can't say that that's what it means. Ella ta'amar lo shatina mimayim da'atu miprat. But if you say, I'm not going to drink from any waters that come from the Euphrates, then you're going to be forbidden to all the waters in the world. To Amar of Yehuda Amarav, Kol Anarot Lemata Mishalosh Naharot. How does he get that all the water comes from the Euphrates? If you remember in Sefer Breshit, there's a whole description of the waters coming out from Gan Eden. So there it says, okay, there's four rivers mentioned there, right? There's the Chidekel, Pishon, Gichon, and Prat. So Kol Anarot Lemata Mishalosh Naharot. Three rivers, the Chidekel, the Pishon, and the Gihon. From there come all the rivers in the world. V'gimel naharot lamata miprat. And those three all come out from the Euphrates. So now they say, Va'ika einata dimidalyan. But aren't there, how can you say that everything flows down? Isn't there water that goes on the top of mountains? Sometimes there's water that goes on the top of these high mountains, and they're higher than the Euphrates. How could they possibly come from the Euphrates? Amar Rav Masharshia, Hanu Sulame de Prat Ninu. Those are actually, okay, I'll translate it literally, the ladders of Prat. What does that mean? That the water goes under the ground there, but then comes up like a ladder through the mountain. Okay, right? There's this
water pressure that pushes
up. Right, water pressure pushes up and it comes out over the mountain. Just thinking in Shavuot night, we had all these kids' shirim going on, and I went with the fifth graders with my daughter, and it was actually a really interesting lecture. He was trying to talk about which har is Har Sinai, and he was a geologist, so he gave all these pictures of how mountains are created and how a lot of them, you know, it's like a rupture from the middle, and it comes, you know, basically comes out. His whole theory was interesting, that there's a whole debate about Har Sinai. Since we have time, I can go off on a tangent. There's a whole thing about Har Sinai. Was it Santa Catarina? And was it, there's a potential mountain, they say, in between, like near Mitzper Ramon. I forgot the name of it.
Har Karkom.
I was there. So he says that if you talk about the Midrash, about the mountains being, you know, all saying, oh, we're so great, blah, 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 and then Har Sinai being Anav, so we talked about the formations of mountains and how many of them, most of them, and he describes Santa Catarina and Har Carmel and all the ones in the Midrash, are all the kind that kind of erupt or grow upward. Whereas the one, Har Karkom, Dafka, is created because the ground dropped and it was left with whatever was left. So that's Dafka Har Shafel. So he says if it matches the Midrash, yeah, to him, that sounds like the most relevant. Anyway, it was a nice, it's cute cheer, and then I thought of it here when they talk about the water coming up. It's the same thing about the formation of the mountains, that most of them are formed by kind of some explosion or nice, you know, some could be a lava explosion or some could be just a, you know, the ground cracking and things growing up. And
tectonic plates.
Right, the tectonic plates, exactly. That's what he was talking about. So here, you could have the water also coming up through there. But wait a minute. Doesn't it say in the fourth river is Prat, which sounds like all four come out, but not that they all come from Nahar Prat? So what do they answer? Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak v'itamer Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Either he said or he said, Hu Prat me'ikara. What it means is Nahar Prat, from Nahar Prat came all the rivers, including the fourth one, which was called Prat, but it came from Prat. And in other words, right, so Nahar Prat divided into four, really. It divided into the Chidekel and the Pishon and the Gihon. And the fourth one, where it split off, was also called Nahar Prat. It was rooted in the Nahar Prat from the beginning. So that doesn't necessarily mean that it doesn't all come from Prat. Tanya, Rabbi Meir Omer, so here's a Braita about it also, that Yuval Shmo, they call Nahar Prat, the Euphrates, they call it Yuval, or its real name is Yuval. And we'll talk about, this is classic when things are called two names, so we've seen this in a number of situations where they say, well, what's the real name, and what's the name that it got, like from a drasha, you know, where one name was more like a nickname that was given to it because of something about it. So really, its real name is Yuval, maybe also from Lahovil, right? To move things along. Shene'emar, here's a pasuk from Yirmiyahu Yud Zayin. V'haya ke'et shatul ha'mayim, v'al Yuval yishalach shoroshav. It will spread its roots on Yuval, which they're saying is the prat. V'lama nikra shmo prat. So why was it called prat? Shememav parim biravim. Its waters reproduce, okay, kind of it's constantly replenishing itself from its own springs. Okay, now we're going to get into an interesting debate about how when the Nahar Prat gets the water level gets higher, is it coming from itself, which this source seems to show, that from its own Mayanot, or is it from rainwater? Okay, and there's going to be a very relevant halachic ramification, which we're going to learn about Dinei Mikvah. This supports what Shmuel says. He says the Nahar Prat is blessed from itself. In other words, it all comes from within. Upliga de Rav, and this actually disagrees with Rav. To Amarav Ami Amarav, Rav Ami said the name of Rav. Mitra ben Ma'arava Sahada Rava Prat. The Matar in Eretz Israel, it's the best witness it has is the Euphrates. And this is why is this interesting for the Bavliim? That, you know, probably they wanted to know what was going on in Eretz Israel. Like, was there rain this year? How would they know? They'd look at the Euphrates, and if the Euphrates was full, they would know that it rained in Israel, and the water came down from the mountains, right? There was a lot of rain, it dripped down, and it filled up the Euphrates. So again, reading that Sahad Arabah is, it's the best witness is the prat, okay, to know whether it rained in Eretz Israel. So Rav seems to indicate that Nahar Prat, when the water level gets higher, it comes from rain and not from its own springs. So that's the machloka between them. Now we're going to see, so again, Shmuel, just keep it track, because we're going to see something about the father of Shmuel who seems to actually hold like Rav. So Shmuel himself says its own springs fill it up, and Rav says it's from rainwater. Avuah de Shmuel Avilahu Libinatai, he made for his daughters mikvah b'yomi Nisan. He would make his own mikvahs in the days of Nisan, meaning they couldn't use the Euphrates to go in the mikvah. Umefatze b'yomi Tishrei, and he would give them machzalaot, these mats. Thank you. In the summer months. Okay, now let's explain why. Mikveh b'yom Nisan, why couldn't they go in the Nahar Prat? Savar la kirav, he held like Rav da'am Rav Ami Amarav, mitra b'marava sa'daraba prat. And therefore, what? Why is that an issue? Shema yirbu notfin ala zochlim v'havalu meik shamim ruba. What does that mean? A mikveh, you can use any natural body of water as a mikveh. However, there's two different natural bodies of water. Some are made mostly of rainwater, and some are made of streams. Now, if you have a stream that ends up, right, let's say it's a very small stream, it doesn't have a lot of water, and in the winter, the majority of the waters become rainwater, you can't mix the two. So and you can mix it as long as the rainwater doesn't become the majority. But if the rainwater becomes the majority of the flowing water, then it's no longer zochalim, and then it's also not rainwater because the root was zochalim, flow water, you know, water that flows, therefore you cannot use that for a mikvah. So what did he say? If you hold like Rav, that the Euphrates gets filled up by rainwater in the winter, then that's why Shmuel's father wouldn't let his daughters go in the mikvah there, because he said it's going to be mostly rainwater, in which case you're not allowed to dunk there. Why the Mefatze B'yomi Tishrei? That's because so there's two different reasons given. One is because then they could actually use the Euphrates. And if they had their own mikvahs that he made from rainwater, so that would be more private. But if they had to, if they went in the Euphrates, and that's why waste the energy to make a mikvah when they're already mikvahs? So he brought them mats to cover themselves up for tzniut reasons, so that people wouldn't see them going to the mikvah.
That's some distance.
Yeah. So that's one explanation. The other explanation is that the it was very shallow in the summer months, in which case if they stepped on the ground, it was full of mud, and they would get the mud mixed in with their bodies, and they would become a chatzitza, and they would get dirty while they're toweling in the mikvah, and therefore you put the mats at the bottom so that they would step on the mat and not the dirt, and the dirt wouldn't get in their toes, and they wouldn't get dirty while they're in the mikvah, and they have a chatzitza. So two different explanations as to what this was for. Upliga di da di da. Okay, so that was all the father of Shmuel, who seemed to be holding like Rav. Shmuel himself, though, again, we said that it mostly reproduces, right? The water reproduces from itself. Upliga di da di da. But Shmuel actually contradicts himself, because in a different place, Shmuel says, Damar Shmuel, Ein hamayim nitarim bezochalin, ela prat biyomei tishrei. So generally, you can't use zochalim for a mikvah, except for prat in the days of Tishrei, because prat in the days of Tishrei, when it's the summer, you know that the majority isn't rainwater, and therefore you can use it as a mikvah. But in the winter, you have to worry that the majority is rainwater, and then it would be a problem. How could he say that when he himself says it kind of reproduced from itself and not from rainwater? Now, you could say maybe he was being machmir to both sides. In other words, he was saying, I think it really comes from there, but maybe, you know, maybe also it's from rainwater, I don't know. But anyway, he contradicts himself and the Gemara has no resolution. Okay, stop here for today.